Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Good morning, everyone. Well, today is Monday, and it's 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard, and we're speaking today to none other than John Bailey, the White Plains Citizenet reporter. He begins our week every Monday morning at 10 o'clock. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Hezzy. Good morning, world. John Bailey in White Plains, New York, USA. Beautiful sunny day in the great North.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wanted to ask you, this is the first time that we have, like, early voting that's going on. I know in New York City we're starting today. I think in Westchester County as well. Maybe it's the entire state. Is that going to affect the way you are going to vote? I'm going to try to get out there and vote today.
Right. No, I always vote on election day.
Okay.
I want to wait till the last possible moment because something can happen between now and next Tuesday when election day is to change my mind. Although I know I'm not going to change my mind as far as New York goes.
Well, you know, I guess you never know. I mean, things can happen. Things can change. I wonder if, though, we're going to get more people voting because there is early voting. I really have no idea how that's going to work.
You think we will? Yeah, because it's really tough for some people to get away and vote. Employers don't give election days off, which has always been an absolute atrocious policy.
Yes.
You're absolutely right.
Usually you could get it done in 3 hours, right? Going and coming from the both, waiting to vote. I don't think you'd need more than 3 hours, tops.
No, but I mean, the whole problem is when employers and government doesn't give you election day off, this is a big problem because look in the city, okay? You commute from Brooklyn into Manhattan or Queens into Manhattan or Staten Island into Manhattan or Westchester into Manhattan. The polls are open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Okay, sounds like a lot of time, right? But if you're planning on voting after you get home from work, you may run into a delay. If you're planning on voting before going into work, and you may have a problem getting to the polling place. Who knows? Election day should be a holiday. It's the most important day. I've never said that until now, but I always wondered about it.
It's a good point, though. It's a good thinking process on your part. You're right. Maybe that should be a holiday so that everybody can go out there and vote.
On top of that, why are school boards holding school elections from only noon to 9 p.m.? Riddle me that.
Good question.
That's the limit of turnout and to get their budgets passed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's always been that way. Terrible policy.
Oh.
They should declare an election day a holiday on the budget vote.
Absolutely. Really good. Tell me, what do you think about the biggest voting issue, I guess, is in New York State. Hochul is running on the Democratic side. And then you've got also Zeldin, who's running on the Republican side. I'm not sure if Donald Trump's endorsement of Zeldin is going to give Zeldin a leg up or not. But then at the same time, there's a problem with Hochul. There seems to be a little bit of an issue about how much funding she gives, you know, the baseball game. The baseball team there, I think her husband evidently owns the place. So, where do you think
that's all going to go? The Buffalo Stadium.
In Buffalo,
right?
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, look, Buffalo is a really in bad shape. Stadium there is very
old.
Been like
that for years.
And don't forget, the New York Mets got essentially a free stadium from New York City, and so did the Yankees.
Yes. That's
I mean, come
well.
On. I mean, that is nothing. That is, and I mean, the Yankees, the wealthiest franchise in baseball, and we built
mm-hmm.
them a ballpark, let alone a train station right by the ballpark
yeah.
to increase their attendance for the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And they charge prices that nobody in the Bronx can afford to buy a ticket. Are you kidding
exactly.
me?
Exactly.
So, I mean, criticizing Hochul for helping Buffalo is really interesting, but the big issue really here in New York is whether people really believe that Zeldin can run this state. Do they have any idea? Has he run anything in his life? He ran Suffolk County, and from what I can see, Suffolk is as backward as it was in the 1950s when I was living there.
Well,
I
don't
mean,
disagree.
Come on.
I didn't
still
live
a
there.
County police department. No, it's still a county police department. They have
mm-hmm.
pockets of really segregated communities, basically Wyandanche, North Babylon, and
yeah.
You know, it's just really, really not a county that has anything to recommend it. And of course, the North Shore is virtually all white, as is
mm-hmm.
the South Shore.
That's
plus the hideous Hamptons, the playground
yeah.
of the rich and crooked.
Well said. Well said. But you know what is interesting
that
today,
this is what I have. I have a problem with Zeldin. He has no solution for inflation. He has no solution for crime except jailing anybody who commits a misdemeanor. Okay. And so I mean that's his policy on stopping crime. But unfortunately, the fact that he supposedly, if you believe what the polls are saying, has crept up to within striking distance of Governor Hochul. If you believe that, it means that there's just a lot of hatred out there to just jailing people who have crime. But wait, if you're a white person, you want bail, even if you commit
yeah.
murder or something. I mean, because you're white. It's a terribly prejudiced justice system we have. And to my way of thinking, if New York State votes in Zeldin, we are looking at gridlock in the state. We're looking at a governor who will not do anything. Yeah, we're looking at a governor who will not be an aggressive policymaker or address state problems. Like right now, whoever becomes governor in November will have to contend with a massive COVID problem in January, because COVID is double the spread rate it was a year ago, which resulted in the 31,000 infections in January. And you're not hearing that from everybody except me. Why aren't we hearing that?
I don't know why, because there are new variants that have come out. I think there are three of them at the moment.
Yeah,
coming over from Europe, and they're going to really be very contagious. So
yeah.
I don't even know if there are inoculations that could prevent
yeah.
anyone from getting anything more. I don't think science has caught up with the new variants. So this is going to
well,
be very, very telling.
That's what the local epidemiologist, Caitlin Jetalina says in her weekly newsletter that we are looking at a very big infection problem coming up. And
yes.
the fact that, I mean, she makes everything clear. She goes over the charts, and I believe what she's saying. But on the other hand, I reject the policy of telling people, well, COVID is behind us, it's going to be always be with us, and we have to learn to live with it. Well, unfortunately, people who get it, particularly older people our age,
mm-hmm.
will
yeah.
die with it.
That's very
and
true.
And I mean, it is sad to me that we have this Pollyanna atmosphere around the disease. People aren't wearing masks out in public. They just aren't. And that's why the spread is so high. The spread is, we had 2,500 last October, which created the big spread. This October, as of Saturday, we had double that, 5,261 new infections. Yeah. Now, maybe you're not staying sick as long, but you have a problem. You have a problem with that. You're going to have more next week. In two months, you're going to have, I'd say, maybe about 10,000 infections.
Yeah. And
the
healthcare system is overwhelmed. Literally, people
are burning
out.
Well, yeah, we're not hearing too much about that. Not hearing too much about that. And why aren't we hearing too much about it? Because nobody wants you to know that it's a problem. Doctors cannot work 24/7.
No, they can't. And the nursing staff as well. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, I hate to be a doomsayer, but somebody has to tell people the correct figures. And you've got schools not telling what the infections are. You've got an unsuspecting public thinking that the infections that the kids get don't mean anything because they're so small. But we don't know how small they are or how large. We knew that last year. And the state,
we were embarrassed. We were embarrassed to tell, the public how many kids were being infected. I don't know why we didn't do that.
Last year, the state did that. The state did that last year, and it gave you a good handle. In the city of White Plains, we had 25% of the school and staff population get infected, and we had very good precautions. So tells me that it could be a lot more in the schools this year. But the county, Westchester County, gets these infections from the schools by law. The schools are supposed to report the number of illnesses they come down with, like flu of course, COVID. But we'll see. So surely the Amler went put out a press release last week saying everybody needs to get vaccinated because we are going to have a new wave of infections in November, December. She did that in a press release, not in a press conference, but in a press release sent out about 5:30 p.m., which I do not think was picked up on the news.
No.
And that was a total break. With absolutely no explanation, because she has not talked about that much at all. She's just been talking vaccines, and she really urged vaccinations because of this feeling she apparently has. We'll see what the county executive says today in his brief. But anyway, that's the COVID situation. It's not good, and people who think it is, and it's not a threat, you do so at your peril. And my prayers
I think so. I think so, too. Just hope people do the right thing for themselves. One thing about, places like Syracuse and Buffalo, they don't have that much to do. And I'm not trying to berate them, but they don't have the complexity and the sophistication of a New York City that drives the equation. Including sports arenas. They don't have very much more to do up in Syracuse or in Buffalo. So why do we get all bent out of shape about that thing with Hochul? What's the point? They got nothing else going on.
Well, Ms. Hochul is really hands-on, and she does things, and her biggest failure so far is not her failure. It's the failure of the state legislature that took away her emergency powers. They took those powers away when they took them away from the belated Governor Cuomo. And now the legislature is really making COVID policy, which means they're not making it.
Exactly.
There has
Very
been
well
nobody
said,
in
John.
The legislature saying a peep about it. The legislature
no.
is our enemy because they will not act to make things difficult and irritate voters just before an election. They won't do anything. And this is irresponsible of them because by not doing them, the spread has we had 1,000 infections a week for the last 13 weeks. 1,000 new infections a week. Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Right. Well, that's because everything has been relaxed. But anyway, the legislature is responsible for that. And then telling the schools they don't have to be vaccinated, the Supreme Court down in Washington is saying you can't mandate a vaccine. Or was it the New York State Supreme Court said that? I forget it. No matter what court it is, it makes stupid decisions.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
No wisdom.
Do you think that we're going to get over this, or what's going to happen, or just we're going to continue to roll along and not really do anything constructive?
Well, when you have a population that is vulnerable to being perpetually ill.
Yeah.
From whatever goes through because they refuse to get vaccinated, you're not as vibrant. You have more sick days. The health system is compromised, and the only reason we got out of this whole thing to begin with was because of all the restrictions that Governor Cuomo put on. No matter what anybody says, they work. They stopped it.
Yeah, they
did
work.
No vaccine. They stopped it when there was no vaccine. Mark my words. If you're not getting vaccinated, you're perpetuating it. There's so much crap.
What about polio? What about the polio problem? That just died somehow.
Nobody's
reporting it.
No, there isn't. Now, why is that? Because it takes a while to catch it. It takes a while to trace it to polio.
But it's supposedly already in the fluid, in the water.
That's what the tests say. And the other thing is the COVID particularly is spreading in counties like Orange. It's spreading in Rockland. It's spreading in Dutchess. It's a creeping problem up there. And the county executives of those counties are doing nothing about it. Nothing.
Why is that? Are they afraid to say something different? Is it different in the north than it is in the south?
They want to be liked. They want to be liked. They do not
want
to.
Don't we all want to be liked?
Well, yeah, but we have no control over that. But
that's very true as well. That's insanity.
Right, we have no control over that. You can treat a woman like a queen, and she's not impressed with that because you're an easy conquest. You know. And
the women like the
bad boys. They like the bad boys. That's why Trump is so popular among women voters. He's so macho.
I never thought of it.
He's such a real man. I mean, that's why women apparently tolerate abuse. Not all women.
Well, I had no idea that he was that attractive to women, because I find him an abominable type of character, a liar and a cheat. It's unbelievable.
Well, throughout the history of film, you have had very macho, nasty men, completely perpetuated. And, you know, when I believe men slapped women in movies, that was a terrible thing.
Yeah, they did. That's right. I remember
that's
that.
That's right. That was done a lot. And, I mean, the macho thing of the man is the boss, the man knows best, the man always solves the problem is not necessarily true because in real life. Now, that is perpetuated in business where women are still making 82% of what men make for the same job, and you can't get around that.
I don't understand that. Why can't we get around that? Why isn't it happening? Why isn't it even passed by, like, New York City or county government? You know, I don't understand that.
Well, unequal pay for the same job, there should be a law against that. But there
I think there should.
Why isn't there? Yeah.
I don't get
because,
it.
Right.
Because the companies don't want to pay more? But it's unfair.
They
why should
also
a woman
don't
earn less
want
than
to
a man?
Appoint. They don't like women who are competent because many times women are much more competent than men because they're more rational, except and they are denigrated by the vast majority of male management because they are emotional. That's been said for years. They can't be rational. You look at
but they are rational. Women are rational. I don't know why we made it seem like they were irrational years ago. I remember growing up with
that
sort of an attitude. Yeah, the movie did that.
Yeah, the movie.
Do you think that's going to come about? Why hasn't that become a focal point in electioneering? Even Hochul, you would have thought, would have said something about that. But
well,
no one's really fighting
Hochul,
for women.
Hochul, if she comes out, it's very difficult for an incumbent to defend themselves. Without seeming defensive and admitting that it's true. See, that's what happens. When you say, listen, we've made mistakes, but we're doing better now, that is perceived by the electorate as weak. And when you have a person running for the state house or the state legislature saying that they have a way to fix inflation or they have a way to fix crime, well, they don't tell you what it is. Today, one of those types, Mike Lawler, is going to tell us his plan for reducing inflation in New York.
Mm.
I really eagerly await a press release on that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what Nixon did about getting elected in 68. He said, I have a secret plan to end the war, and people believed him. Well, all the Republicans have a secret plan.
Hmm. It's a secret.
It's a secret because, look, what are you going to do about inflation? Well, the only thing that ever worked was price controls in World War II and in World War I. And it did slow it, but people always say, well, price controls don't work. Well, who says that?
Yeah, exactly. It's just business.
Business, because it hurts
speaking
their
of business,
profit manipulation.
What about Elon Musk? And now that he's taken over Twitter, so the bird is free,
this guy is beginning to seem to me like a real loose cannon.
Yeah, I'm really not sure how
rolling
to,
around
how to judge
the deck.
Him.
But
I'm not sure how to judge him
Mr.
anymore.
Musk. Yeah, credit Mr. Musk for exposing the fact that Facebook doesn't make money. It
Absolutely.
Does not make money. And we always felt that who was the guy who stole the Facebook idea from the Winklevoss twins and made it a worldwide phenomenon. That guy didn't know how to really run a business because he lost money.
No, he didn't. Yeah, exactly.
And he was.
Yeah, but Musk,
Elon
Musk knows how to make money. Yeah.
He was exposed as a genius, just as Trump was. The business press loved these guys. Because they don't exist without guys like that.
Mm.
Unbelievable. The business press is a bunch of press release printers.
Got to ask you about something else, about like Nancy Pelosi's husband got really, he got, I guess he was hit by a hammer in the head and he had to go through surgery,
yes,
or on the arm.
This is...
What's gone crazy? Have we gone nuts as a society?
Well,
82 years old, that guy.
I know. How can you do that to a person like that who has done nothing to you? Done nothing to you. This is, the Republicans have reaped what they have sowed. They have sowed hatred. They have sowed hatred of minorities. They have said it is all right to attack the family of Congress people. This is what they have done. You only have, every Republican should have incited that attack. But what, I think only 10 have? Only 10.
I don't even know if there were 10.
What about all
I didn't count
Republicans
them.
In the Senate and the Congress? Where is your humanity, sir? As
Why don't we have the Democrats point that out?
They are afraid too. I mean, my God. I mean, no, look, I tell you, it is Halloween today, which extols horror and scariness. But unfortunately, what happened to Mr. Pelosi is the real horror of what horror really means. It's an unprovoked, vicious, premeditated attack. The vampires and the monsters and the zombies and the werewolves we all venerate as fictional creations and secretly are thrilled by the power these creatures have. But it is vicious powers, the power of an animal. I watched a spider in my house entrap a moth and systematically wrap it around. I have videotape of it, and I was mesmerized at the sheer violence and method that the spider used. This is what these people who attack other people who have not attacked them and attack them because that's what they are. They are like...
Yeah, but spiders do it for food, but why do we do it?
Yes, well, it is a thrill. That's what it is. It's a thrill. Never forget that. You go in and you shoot up a school. Well, that you may really feel good about that if you do that because you wanted to do it. It is not in any way forgivable.
No.
Or explainable.
But you think people get a charge out of that? I can't imagine. I can't imagine the joy of shooting somebody.
Well, once when I was a kid, I had a BB gun gift on my father.
Yeah.
And I walked around the pond and I saw a frog sitting on a rock, totally innocent. And I shot and killed the frog with the BB gun. And I've never forgotten that because I wanted to see what would happen. So we all have these little demons.
I was trained on an Uzi submachine gun, so I used one, but I never had to kill anybody, thank goodness. But it's amazing. I mean, we're talking powerful, powerful weapon. But what can I tell you? It's
That's
a crazy
I'm just
society
saying,
we're living
people,
in, John.
Yeah, and it is. But I mean, I just don't see, but I've always remember that frog I killed, and I remember when I hazed kids in a fraternity when I had never gone through hazing myself, and how I was overcome by the viciousness of the hazing. You get overcome by the viciousness of people around you. That's what happened in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, and then... When it comes down to really being brave and actually storming the Capitol, they pushed a woman in first who was shot and killed by a government guard. And nobody else came through the windows. All those brave men, the brave men who pushed her into the line of fire. That shows you how brave those men really were. They weren't brave. They were cowards. Because when it comes time to lay it on the line, they couldn't do that.
Well, that's very true.
Well, you remember
John,
that?
Unfortunately, we need to spend a whole hour on this. You're on a tear, and I'm very, very much impressed. But your compassion is just like, it's visceral. It's fantastic. Unfortunately, I've got to say goodbye to you because we've got our next guest. So just all the best. Have a great week. Don't forget to vote.
Yes.
Take care.
Be safe, everybody. Get vaccinated. And it's out there. Don't let it get you.
Be good. Thanks. Bye.
Bye for now.
Okay, let's bring in none other than Michael Edelman. He's a national political analyst and pundit. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hi, Jesse. How you doing?
Thank goodness. I'm feeling good. And, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on around the world. So I don't know what's more important than anything else. I wanted to ask you, though, about Trump. Is he making an impact? Does he still have a lot of juice because he's endorsing one candidate after another? Are people going to retreat from his endorsement, or do they believe that he's appropriate in his endorsements of different candidates? Does he still have juice?
We don't know that yet, do we? Because we have an election coming
up.
We can say pretty much his candidates in the primary did very well. Oz won the primary against Connor Lamb. Connor Lamb. I forget the guy who's running against him. Who would have been a better candidate?
Yes, I remember Oz in Pennsylvania.
Herschel Walker is a Trump pick. And so we're not going to know until the election whether his selections were the best.
That's very true as well. And why is he avoiding DeSantis? Is he because he's thinking of him as a challenger?
Yeah.
Is DeSantis that powerful?
Well, yeah. DeSantis, frankly, has probably got higher positives than Trump does among Republicans, because even if Republicans like some of the things that Trump did, they don't like Trump particularly, and they'd rather have a cooling off period with a guy like DeSantis. So Trump fears a threat from him for the nomination. And that's why, for example, he's coming to Florida today for a press conference with Marco Rubio, who's running for Senate again, but he didn't invite DeSantis.
Yeah. Amazing. All these games that people play in politics, it's truly amazing. But is Biden doing well? Why is Biden somehow faltering? Or it seems like he's not climbing to a higher plane. Is there something deficient, or am I just missing out on not understanding what's going on with him?
Well, you know, Biden is president when inflation is rising.
Yes.
That's not his fault, by the way. Inflation is high all over the world, not just here.
Correct.
So, but the president always takes a hit.
He takes
when the
economy doesn't
perform.
When
you look at the smaller issues like job creation, Biden's done very well. Ten million jobs have been created. Unemployment is lowest in history, but media pecks away at the inflation because that's what they're getting back from voters. And so we will see on Tuesday whether the Democrats can hold off the Republicans in the United States Senate.
That's going to be very, very interesting, of course, to say the least. Is there
anything
that the president Yeah, is the president, does a, can the president do anything more, or is he like, he's like captive to the reality of the economics, and it does take time to turn that around, doesn't it?
Well, the Fed is trying to turn it around, okay?
Yeah.
But I don't know that they're going to be able to do it without forcing us into a recession. Higher interest rates, you know, are not good for business and not good for the consumer. And we may be in a recession in another couple of months. But I don't believe that Joe Biden can be blamed for that. He might be blamed in the election, but he shouldn't be blamed.
No, I agree with you. I don't know.
His approval rate is higher than Donald Trump's. His approval rate is higher than Donald Trump's.
Yeah. But what I really wonder is, like, why don't we have a greater voice coming from the president's office? Are they doing a strong enough, promotion?
If you're listening. Only if you're listening.
But why is it so subtle? It just doesn't seem to captivate all the media. They're still, slugging it out, and they're anti-Trump, but they're also anti the president. I don't get it.
Well, it's very hard to get a message out when you have a lot of competing news outlets. You know,
yes,
it's not like the old days when you had Channel 2, 4, and 7. And you have Walter Cronkite and a few other people. Now you've got hundreds of people with an opinion.
Mm.
So it's much more difficult to get a message out. Much more.
Uh-huh. So is there something that the president can do, or is just captive to the reality of the economic reality at the moment, which he has nothing really to do with?
Right.
He has to suffer it.
He's just going to be. He's going to be a cat. He will be a captive of the moment. That's a very good way to put it. There's not anything he can do about it. We've got 8 days left to the election.
Yes.
And there's nothing he can do about it.
You've got mail.
Mm.
There's nothing at all. He's just going to have to go with the flow.
Uh huh. And what about? Do we yet know? He's probably not going to run for re-election. Do we yet know as a Democrat?
Well, there are a lot of people.
Or
that's going to
still
be
not out there.
No, because it's not. He's going to run, according to him. However, the moment he says he isn't going to run, all right, that's when we're going to see people come out of the woodwork.
I see. Okay. Well, it's going to be very, very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
What does the president, or what can the president do to change the dynamic, or is that just not in his realm at the moment? And is it just for the Fed that can act?
He can't change the dynamic. He cannot change the dynamic.
Okay.
Too
and what do we
that.
Do now with Pelosi's husband? He got brutally hit with a hammer by some guy that I guess was a Trumpster, and is it conceivable that we're going to get a lot of copycats to this sort of conduct? And why aren't we protecting these people?
Well, how many people you're suggesting we should protect?
I guess we need to protect our elected officials.
This was not an attack on an elected official. This was an attack on her husband.
Exactly. But then shouldn't we be protecting the home or something?
Well, let me ask you something, Hezzy. There are 535 members of the United States Congress. Are you suggesting that they all be protected?
I don't know what else to do. It's just that people are crazy. I mean, the guy's 82 years old. Who in their right mind would come after somebody like that?
Well, that's the point. The guy wasn't in his right mind. If you read the If you read his footprint on media, he was a conspiracy theorist, a QAnon follower, pro-Trump, pro-Trumper, and he had, you know, things going on in his mind. What makes somebody do that? When the Republican, the head of the Republican Party, Donald Trump, makes suggestions to his followers that death may occur to Mitch McConnell, or that some of them will take him literally.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, talking about literally, what's happening with Elon Musk? He's taken over Twitter. Do we have any idea which way he's going to go?
No idea. I have no idea what he's going
to
do.
No idea. Yeah, I don't either. It's a lot of speculation, but, you know, he's going to make those final decisions. One thing I did find interesting, Elon can be a Jewish name, but why the anti-Semitic rhetoric against him? He's not Jewish. What's going
people
on
think
with that?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen that, but I think some people think he is.
I know that some people do think he is, and I don't know, but I had no idea that that mattered so much. But evidently it does. Are we getting a rise in anti-Semitism in the nation?
Yes, of course, big time.
And why? That's why is that?
Because that's part of what Donald Trump has allowed to happen, with a wink and a nod. Whether it was Charlottesville, or you know something, or other instances where he's failed to condemn the statements, he's encouraged violent outbreaks. The Oath Keepers, the Three Percenters, and other groups of white supremacists. Donald Trump has done nothing at all to tamp down their rhetoric. And so you see a rise in anti-Semitic statements online. You see a rise in people who are taking the law into their hands and committing acts against Jews, like the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, for example.
Yeah.
And that's a product of Donald Trump and the Republican Party.
Unbelievable. I just noticed 2 minutes ago, The Hill reports that Trump said that the attack on Paul Pelosi was a terrible thing. So
he should say that, but he should say it right away.
He should have said it right away. I don't know what took him so long. I guess he was pontificating over it. So very, very interesting. Also, what's going on with Ukraine and Russia? All of a sudden, Russia's pulled away from shipping food, you know, like wheat and barley and other items that normally they would ship out to Africa. Don't they look like real? I mean, they sell this stuff, and the prices are going to go through the roof anyway because Russia's not selling the items to Africa, and people are starving. They're literally dying, walking hundreds of miles to try to get some sustenance, and they can't. Can anything be done about that? And then also Russia's bombing the hell out of the power sources to Ukraine. I hear that if you get to like 30, 40 degrees below zero in Ukraine, I had no idea it was that cold in the wintertime. And
it's Russia.
I don't know how they're going to survive.
I don't either, Hezzy. These are you're asking me for solutions to world problems that I simply do not have.
Well, yeah, but you have insight into it.
I don't have insight. No, when a guy like Vladimir Putin does something as horrible as he's done in Ukraine, and then all of a sudden all these people that are oligarchs start to die one after the other, mysteriously, then there's no way to foresee what he's capable of doing, how he can be as better worse than Stalin, because if he's willing to sacrifice hundreds of thousands, maybe million of his troops in a war effort where they're getting slaughtered because they don't have any training. He's a bad guy, and you can't predict what he's going to do.
Definitely a bad guy. What about Xi Jinping from China? Does he realize that Putin is really almost like a paper tiger? I mean, I mean, Xi must think that Putin's a nobody, and that Russia has proved itself to be not really effective.
They can't come up with
a better plan.
I'm sure that Xi Jinping is aware that that Russia has a fighting force that is really ineffective.
Yeah.
If he hadn't invaded Ukraine, people would still be thinking that Russia was a great power.
Exactly.
Now they know for sure that it's not.
It really is amazing. It's very interesting because in a sense, Russia's under attack from within because they're fighting the Ukrainians. And then we got other places around the world where there's a lot of fighting that's going on. Are we going to resolve any of these issues, or there are no issues to resolve? Well, I guess the most important thing is what happens in Brazil. The election, Lula comes in like less than a 1% more than Jair Bolsonaro. Does it look like Lula can actually bring the country together in Brazil?
I doubt it. I doubt anybody can bring Brazil together.
Yeah.
Did Bolsonaro claim the election's fixed, rigged?
You know, he said that he thought that it would be fixed, but he hasn't said anything, and he hasn't capitulated, and he hasn't congratulated Lula either. So who knows what the hell's going to happen over there? He's like a Trumpster.
Pretty much. These are authoritarian leaders who want to be able to do whatever they want, whenever they want. They don't want any control. They don't want to be responsible. They don't want the people to have a voice. They just want to be the number one top dog that is not questioned as to what he's doing.
Hmm. Wanted to ask you about abortion, the right to have an abortion. Do you think that the elections that are happening across the country, are they going to change some of the demeanor? Will women be casting their vote in a more more powerful voice, or give the option of getting an abortion if they so choose? Do you think that's going to get bolstered because of the vote and the way women are going to vote?
I think if the election were held immediately after the Dobbs decision, it would have made a difference. It would have made a difference because women were horrified with that decision. A constitutional right that existed for half a century was stripped away from them. They rallied across the country, but this is 6 months later. And I think the zeal surrounding them being horrified has dissipated to the extent that Republicans may, in fact, win these legislative seats. I don't know that for certain, but I would suggest that the issue of abortion is not what it was immediately after the decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, for example, interestingly enough, in New York State, Hochul is running for re-election. Zeldin... was running against her as a Republican, and he got endorsed by Trump. Does it look like Trump's got enough juice to bring someone like a Zeldin into office?
Not in New York. Will
that change the dynamic? I don't think so.
That's not going to happen.
Uh-huh.
The registration is 2-1 Democrat. It's 2-1 Democrat in New York.
Yeah, right.
Lee Zeldin will get blown out in everywhere but his home turf of Long Island. He'll get blown out in Westchester. He'll get 32-33% of the vote. He'll get blown out in New York City, and there aren't enough Republican votes in upstate New York to make it a different outcome. Rob Astorino tried it, and he didn't even win his home. He didn't even win his home state senate district.
That's very true. You know,
Lee Zeldin is a Trump sycophant, and that's going to be totally unacceptable in the state of New York, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's going to be a slap in the face to Trump. That's for sure. You were very heavily involved in Yonkers politics. You were a corporation counsel.
I was.
And now it turns out there was an article in the Journal News. Tara Rosenblum did a story about the mayor, and the mayor said that he was seriously, he loves the job, loves being the mayor, and he is actually seriously thinking of running.
For what?
For mayor.
Isn't he term limited?
Yes, but that was the whole thing. He is term limited. He was term limited the last time, too. After two terms of 4 years each, he was term limited, but the city council gave him a third four-year term.
Yeah.
And that was copycatting what Bloomberg did in New York City with the city council there. But the city council in New York were begging Bloomberg to take over because Bloomberg kept the entire city afloat financially, everything he paid for. So that made a lot of sense for the city council, particularly here in Yonkers. But now it turns out, did Yonkers make a mistake, or did the mayor's office make a mistake by thinking they can get the city council to vote again, or should it have been a referendum? I think it's too late for a referendum now. So it's
you can't have a referendum.
City council. Is that legal? It's too late for a referendum.
Yeah, but the city council can do what it did the last time, can't it?
I didn't know if they could or they couldn't. I wonder if that's still legal. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure it'll be controversial, but if Mike wants to run for mayor again, that tells you one thing, doesn't it? It tells you he's not running for county executive.
Oh, absolutely. When he said that he was going to consider running for county executive, I don't think people would vote for him because he's not that well known on the county level. But if you have the stamina to run for county, then there's no reason why you would leave Yonkers when there is nobody else in Yonkers who could eclipse him. I don't know.
As mayor?
Who's as mayor? Do you know anybody?
I'm not all that familiar with I'm not that familiar with Yonkers anymore because I don't live there.
Right.
I assume if Mike says he wants to run again that they'll get members of the city council to authorize it. But the important thing here, I think, is that Ken Jenkins, who's the first administrative aide to the county executive, is going to run for county.
He's going to run for county. Yeah, he's going to run, and he's going to be supported by Latimer.
And is he going to be supported by Mike Spano, though?
I would think so at the end of the day. I think it would be very foolhardy for the mayor not to support, Ken Jenkins. He's a black man, very well respected. He used to be the head of the Democratic Party as well in Yonkers.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like one of the boys. I can't imagine that the mayor wouldn't support him. Well, we'll see.
But
I don't think the mayor has a chance in hell in the county.
You've got mail.
The important thing about that, Tara, a Rosenblum article is that Mike is not shooting for county executive.
Exactly.
That's the important thing. Whether or not he can run again for mayor, that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, that is a completely different issue. For sure, that'll be very interesting. Oh, God. Well, so it goes. What else is important that you realize is really pertinent that we haven't discussed today? I can't believe that time goes so quickly when I speak to you.
Well, what's important, I think, is this business of violence against elected officials and the people around them. We need people, we need elected officials to speak out against it rather than encouraging it. You've got the congressmen running for office that have guns. They're being the commercials that they're running, they have a gun in their hand. They're talking about shooting their opponent. You can't have that. That does not go in a civil society. You can't have a veiled threat. You can't campaign under the banner of, if I don't win, I'm going to shoot everybody that had to do with the election.
Yeah.
You just can't do that. And we can't allow that to happen. And slowly but surely, that will erode the democracy, because if that is allowed to happen over and over again, if guns are appropriate in elections, then elections won't be fair. They'll be like they are in the state of Chihuahua in Mexico.
Unbelievable. Oh, got to ask you one last thing about Cuba. Cuba's really suffered a great deal because of the storm. And do you think America is going to be able to come to some sort of relationship with Cuba? Or is that still off the table?
Well, I haven't heard anything being talked about doing anything in Cuba recently.
I haven't either.
Obama opened and then Trump closed it, the door to visiting Cuba, and then Trump closed it. I don't think Joe Biden is thinking about that. I think the main thing is, after next Tuesday, is going to be the composition of the House and the composition of the Senate, and whether Biden is going to be able to get anything done if one of them is not Democratic. And whether or not he decides not to run for re-election, because that will open the door to quite a scramble.
Wow, I can't imagine what that will be. There is no successor to Trump to Biden at the moment, is there? Kamala Harris, does she have the juice to run?
I don't think so.
I don't either. So it's going to be very interesting to see what comes out of all this. Well, very exciting next week.
Yep.
Well, listen, thank you very, very much. As always, all the best to
you.
Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you.
And all the best to you.
I appreciate
it. Thank you again,
sir. Speak to you soon. Yep. Bye-bye.
Be well. Bye. There we have it, none other than Michael Edelman. He's a national political analyst and pundit. I'm just enthralled by his capacity and his knowledge. It's just amazing, literally, how much he knows. And he covers now the international landscape so well, which I think is really quite pertinent. And the beauty of talking to Michael Edelman is that when I speak to him, he speaks from an American perspective as opposed to a European or Asian or South American perspective, which is really very important, because we don't have a voice from the U.S. that speaks to a lot of the concerns and issues that impact the world stage. And it's very, very compelling. Well, we're soon going to be joined by none other than Robert Keston. He's a human rights advocate. One would think that we wouldn't be the human rights advocate, but we evidently do. For so many people, no matter how you slice them or dice them, don't have rights and are still fighting for rights. They're not part of the mainstream. And, women don't have rights. Men still get a little bit crazy when it comes to women. I still don't understand why we have a problem where women get paid less than men. Women are just as proficient in everything and efficient in what they do as men are. And at the same time, they're not emotional or more emotional than the men are. I don't know where all this crap came from, but it just doesn't make any sense. I don't know, it's like a way of putting women down by making them seem like emotionally, I don't know, strung out by one thing or the other, or why we think that we can pay them less when they're doing the same sort of job as the men do. It just makes no sense to me. I don't know how this came about. I guess it's part of the structure, because the same thing happens in Europe as well. So it's not just in America, but in Europe as well. I tend to think that men in China as well, prowess than women. So it's literally unbelievable the sort of stuff that goes on. And I don't understand why that's tolerated on a world stage. We don't have people really talking about that enough as well. So that's very frightening, because that's not happening the way I guess it should. Now let's just look at some other things that are going on. Let's just see. I'm going to see if I can get to another page. Bear with me a moment. I had a problem with one of my computer screens. The iPad that I have, for some crazy reason or another, it was not charging. And now very, very low, only about 7% charged. And thankfully, I have another system that I haven't used in ages, and I'm just not quite sure how to go to a different page here. If I wanted to see what we could, if I could do something here, bear with me a moment. I need to get to another page. Let me just see. Okay, let's hope this didn't do something negative. I'm really quite not sure. One second here. Okay. Let me go back to the studio here. Okay, we're still on the studio screen, which is very, very good. Question is, on this system, I don't know how to move on to another page. Maybe this will work. I'm not quite sure. Bear with me a moment. Okay, I think we got it. Okay, well, at 11:30, we're going to be speaking to none other than Ron Matten. He's a Republican and from Yonkers. So we're going to have to see what's on his mind. And let's look at some of the stuff that happened around the world stage. First, let's look at what happened in Brazil. Brazilians voted in a runoff on Sunday, and leftist veteran and former president Lula returned to power. And so we'll just have to see what goes on with regard to that. Well, the world leaders have congratulated Lula for his win. And bear with me a moment while we try to cover some of the stuff that he did. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, U.S. President Joe Biden, French President Emmanuel Macron, and other world leaders have vowed to work closely with Lula So that's very encouraging. World leaders congratulated former Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva on Sunday after he defeated incumbent Jair Bolsonaro in a tight runoff race that marked a stunning comeback for the veteran leftist. So Lula was congratulated by Scholz, and Brazil is an important strategic partner for Germany, Scholz said, and a key player in overcoming the global challenges of our time. And the European Union's foreign policy chief on Monday congratulated Brazil's Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva on winning a decisive runoff election. Brazilian citizens went to the polls to elect their new president in a peaceful and well-organized election, Josep Borrell tweeted. U.S. President Joe Biden congratulated Lula for winning the free, fair, and credible, quote-unquote, presidential election against Bolsonaro. Quote, I send my congratulations to Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva on his election to be the next president of Brazil following free, fair, and credible elections, Biden said in a statement. And continuing, he added, I look forward to working together to continue the cooperation between our two countries in the months and years ahead. Well, French President Emmanuel Macron also congratulated Lula and said the poll opened a new page in the nation's history. Together, we will join forces to take up the many common challenges and renew the ties of friendship between our two countries, the French president had tweeted. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez on Monday hailed Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva for his win. Congratulations, Lula, on your victory. Let's work together for social justice, equality, and against climate change, Sanchez tweeted. President Alberto Fernandez said that Lula's win, quote, opens a new era for the history of Latin America, a time of hope and future that begins today, end quote. Also, after so many injustices you lived through, the people of Brazil have elected you and democracy has triumphed, he added in a tweet. Lula's return to power in Brazil follows a string of left-wing victories in Latin America. Gustavo Petro, who became Colombia's first leftist president after his election this summer, tweeted simply, long live Lula. He later shared a map from Deutsche Welle's Portuguese for Brazil service, showing that the majority of Latin American countries are now led by leftist governments. So, very, very compelling. Mexico's President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, AMLO, as is well known, tweeted, Lula won, blessed people of Brazil, there will be equality and humanism. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro offered a big hug to Lula, saying in a tweet, long live the peoples, people determined to be free, sovereign, and independent. Today in Brazil, democracy triumphed. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said he looked forward to working with Lula, quote, to strengthen partnership between our countries and to, quote, advance shared priorities like protecting the environment. Russian President Vladimir Putin, who claims to have good relations with both Lula and Bolsonaro, offered his congratulations. Quote, please accept my sincere congratulations. The election results have confirmed your impressive political authority. Putin said, I hope that through joint efforts, we will pursue the development of constructive Russo-Brazilian cooperation in all areas. China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs wished Lula and Brazil, quote, new successes, end quote. Foreign Ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian said, quote, we are willing to work with the new Brazilian government led by Lula to take the China-Brazil comprehensive strategic partnership to a new level, better benefit the two countries and two peoples. So will Bolsonaro accept the results? Bolsonaro has not yet conceded the race to Lula. The far-right incumbent has previously suggested he would claim fraud if he lost the race. In his victory speech, Lula called for quote, peace and unity, end quote, following a bitter electoral campaign. He said he would represent all Brazilians, not just those who supported him. Quote, it is no one's interest to live in a divided nation in a permanent state of war, Lula had said. Lula managed to handily win the northeastern states of Brazil, whereas Bolsonaro was favored in the economic powerhouses of Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro in the southeast. So we'll have to see where all this goes. Okay. Bear with me a moment. We'll move back here. 1 second. See if I can get this done here. Okay. Bear with me. Almost there. Bear with me a second. Sorry. Okay. I got this new Let me see if this works. 1 second. Let me see if I can pull this up. Okay, hopefully this will work. All right, let's just see what else is happening on the world stage. Let's look at what's happening in Ukraine. It seems, where are we here? Yeah, here it is. Seems that 80% of Kyiv is without water supply after the Russian missile attack. And Ukraine on Monday accused Russia of another, quote, massive attack, quote, unquote, on the country's energy infrastructure after officials announced power and water supply cuts in Kyiv. Meanwhile, Russia's suspension over the weekend of its participation in the United Nations brokered deal to move Ukrainian grain threatens to deepen a global food crisis. So we'll just have to see where all that goes. Ukraine's grain exports are down 16.4% in October. Ukraine's grain exports fell to 4.2 million tons in October 2022 from 5.05 million tons in the same month of the previous year, the Agriculture Ministry said on Monday. The ministry said this month's volume included 1.9 million tons of wheat, almost 2 million tons of corn, and 313,000 tons of barley. It said that Ukraine had exported a total of 12.9 million tons of grain so far in the July 2022 to June 2023 season versus 19.4 million tons in the same period of 2021-2022. Well, Ukrainian officials are still working to reconnect power and water following the Russian strikes. A massive barrage of Russian strikes on Monday morning hit critical infrastructure in Kyiv, Kharkiv, and other cities, knocking out water and power supplies in an apparent retaliation for what Moscow alleged was a Ukrainian attack on its Black Sea fleet over the weekend. Ukraine suffered sweeping blackouts and water supplies were cut for 80% of Kyiv residents on Monday after what Ukrainian officials called another massive, quote-unquote, Russian missile attack on energy facilities. Ukrainian army said, quote, more than 50 cruise missiles were launched at targets across the country days after Russia blamed Ukraine for drone attacks on its fleet in the Black Sea. The army said many missiles were shot down by air defenses, but Prime Minister Denise Shmyhal said they had caused power cuts in hundreds, quote-unquote, of areas across seven Ukrainian regions. Several blasts were heard in the capital of Kyiv. Russia's foreign ministry of, Russia summons the Dutch ambassador over alleged recruitment attempt by British intelligence. Russia's foreign ministry on Monday summoned the Dutch ambassador to protest at what it said was an attempt by British intelligence to recruit the Russian military attaché at the Russian embassy in The Hague. In a statement, the foreign ministry called on the Dutch authority to prevent, quote, countries that the Netherlands calls its allies from taking such unfriendly action. UK grain exports resume as Turkey fights to save the deal. Seems that cargo ships loaded with grain and other agricultural products left Ukraine ports on Monday, despite Russia's decision to pull out from a landmark deal designed to ease a global food crisis. As one of the brokers of the grain deal, Turkey has stepped up diplomacy with the two warring countries in a bid to save it, as Russia warned that continuing to enforce the agreement without its participation would be, quote, dangerous, end quote. At least 10 ships, including the Italia Angel, chartered by the World Food Program and loaded with 30,000 tons of wheat destined for an emergency response to the Horn of Africa, left Ukrainian ports on Monday, according to a website that tracks marine traffic. Norway's military sharpens security in response to Ukraine war. Norway's military will sharpen the country's security from November 1 in response to the war in Ukraine, Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre said on Monday. At 11:07 in the morning, a shot down Russian missile fell on Moldova village. The Moldovan government said a Russian missile shot down by Ukrainian air defenses fell on a village in northern Moldova on Monday, but without causing any injuries. The country's interior ministry said the missile fell on the village of Naslavseya, close to the Ukrainian border, destroying the windows of several homes, but that, quote, no casualties were recorded. Erdogan later on the morning says that Turkey is going to continue the grain deal efforts after Russia hesitates. Turkey will continue its efforts for the Black Sea grain export deal despite Russian hesitancy, President Tayyip Erdogan said on Monday after Russia suspended its participation in the initiative at the weekend. Even if Russia behaves hesitantly, because it didn't receive the same benefits, we will continue decisively our efforts to serve humanity, Erdogan said in a speech. Separately, a United Nations spokesperson said that the first of 40 planned ship inspections on Monday had been completed in Istanbul waters with a team of just United Nations and Turkish members rather than previous four member teams, including Russians and Ukrainians, before Moscow's suspension. Well, a record number of 354 tons of agricultural products was carried on vessels leaving Ukrainian ports on Monday as part of the Black Sea grain deal, a spokesperson for Odessa's military administration had said. Russia, which invaded Ukraine on February 24, withdrew from the Black Sea deal on Saturday for an indefinite term because it said it could not guarantee safety of civilian ships traveling under the pact after an attack on its vessels. Well, 12 vessels leave Ukrainian ports under Black Sea grain deal, Kyiv says. Well, 12 vessels embarked from Ukrainian ports on Monday under the Black Sea Grain Initiative, Ukrainian Infrastructure Minister Oleksandr Kubrakov had said. Russia, which invaded Ukraine on February 24, halted its role in the Black Sea deal on Saturday for an indefinite term because it could not guarantee safety of the civilian ships traveling under the pact after an attack on its Black Sea fleet. Today, 12 ships left Ukrainian ports at UN, and Turkish delegations provide ten inspection teams to inspect 40 ships aiming to fulfill the Black Sea Grain Initiative. This inspection plan has been accepted by the Ukrainian delegation. The Russian delegation has been informed. Kubrakov wrote on Twitter, and Ukraine says that it's targeted by more than 50 missiles from Russia. Ukraine said it was targeted by more than 50 cruise missiles from Russia on Monday morning, resulting in power cuts across several regions. From 7 a.m. on October 31, Russian occupiers carried out several waves of missile attacks against critical infrastructure in Ukraine. The Ukrainian army said on Telegram, adding that, quote, more than 50 by 101 over X-55 cruise missiles were launched from Russia. A massive attack by Russia on Ukraine energy facilities. Ukraine on Monday accused Russia of another massive attack on the country's energy infrastructure after officials announced power and water supply cuts in the capital. Russian terrorists have again launched a massive attack against electricity installations in a number of Ukrainian regions, said the deputy head of Ukraine's presidency, Kirilo Tymoshenko. And France is working on a land route for Ukrainian crops. France is working towards allowing Ukraine to export food supplies via land routes rather than the Black Sea through Poland or Romania. The French Farming Ministry said on Tuesday, after Russian withdrew from an export deal and its war with Ukraine, we're looking to see whether if it can pass through the Black Sea. If it can instead pass through overland routes, in particular by looking at land routes through Romania and Poland, Agriculture Minister Mark Fesneau told RMC Radio. We will continue to work towards a system which does not put us in the hands and the goodwill, or in the case, the bad will of Vladimir Putin, said Fesneau, referring to the Russian president. All right, so let's just see what else is happening. All righty. All right, we're going to be speaking to Ron Matten very, very shortly. He is a resident of Yonkers, and bear with me a moment as I try to get back to okay. He should be calling us in a few minutes, and we'll be talking to him about the elections. There's early voting, as you well know. In fact, I'm going to be voting today. And it just seems that this is going to be very interesting. I wonder if there's going to be a good return on offering the voter potential to vote for literally a week, which is fascinating, and it could make a big difference in participation and conceivably even in the outcome. It's going to be very interesting to see what can be deciphered from the vote that will take place. So very, very exciting, to say the least. Well, pretty soon we're going to be able to talk to Ron Matten. He's a politician, a Republican-striped politician. And we're going to talk to him about, you know, matters to or just the integrity of the Republican Party and the I guess taking that and forging a relationship with him okay, let me just see if we got anything else going on. I think now we should be getting a call very, very soon, and we'll go from there. All right, we'll see what happens. Okay. Well, we only have a few more minutes to go. So we haven't voted. Early voting began in New York State today. So you'll have to check to see where the voting is taking place near your neighborhood. And that's it. I've got to go to voting as well. So I'm going to have to get there by 1 o'clock. So I should be able to do that. And I'm looking forward to that as well. And if I find, for whatever reason, it's too late for me, then I'll go there tomorrow and get the voting done. I think it's really important to vote in the outcome. And hopefully that's understood. So let's quickly look at what else is happening here. Let me play this for you while we're waiting. 1 second. All right, we'll see what goes on now. Be starting on pretty soon. We'll be getting Ron Matt and see what he's thinking about. A Republican perspective, and a very lucid guy, involved in politics in Yonkers for a long time, and find him very, very compelling, balanced in his thinking, which is really very, very exciting, actually. So he'll be calling us very shortly, and then we'll see where it goes from there. Ah, for goodness sakes. So we'll just see where it goes. Oh, goodness, goodness. We'll see what he finds most pertinent about the election process and what he thinks will be the outcome for early election or early balloting. That's going to be very, very interesting. And we'll see where that goes and where that leads. Really going to be very interesting to see where it does lead. Okay, we'll see pretty soon where it's going to go. Well, I wonder what that is. Hold on a split second. Bear with me a moment. Let's see who that is. Okay. All right. Okay, we'll see what goes on in a moment. Someone is coming up. We'll see what it is that they're doing. Delivering. We'll see what happens. Okay, we'll see what goes on here. I didn't expect anyone to deliver, but evidently they are. How you doing?
Hello.
Hello. I didn't expect you today, but thank you so much.
No problem.
You be well. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the day. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, we're going to get Ron Matten. I hear he's already on the line. So that's going to be good. And let me just see in a second. Got to bring him in. Didn't expect. Okay. We should get him in a second here. 1 second. Okay, there he is. Okay, good morning, Ron. I'm sorry for the delay. I didn't expect anybody to be at the door, but they rang at the same time.
Oh, okay.
How you doing?
Well, you know, good. We also have to live our lives as well as being a media mogul, right?
That's very, very, very considerate, actually. I don't know if many people would say that, but I appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Well,
you're welcome. You know, this is a very, very, first of all, thank you for making the accommodation for me today. So what's really fascinating is that there's early elections. I'm going to vote later on today. And
yeah, I
you
voted,
think that's going to make on
Sunday. It was actually a pretty good turnout. I took a look at the two voting machines at the Will Library, and I understand as I voted around 4 o'clock, and it appeared that there were nearly 600 votes at that time, which was for a Saturday.
That's terrific.
Yeah, for Saturday, first day of voting, it might have been like 550. Somewhere around that between the two machines. So for a Saturday the close, because I was there maybe 4:30 and they close at 6. That was a good number of voters. I do have a friend who is working at the Riverfront Library around midday.
Okay.
He said it was kind of slow. Last year was kind of slow as well, I understand, at the Riverfront. But it seems that the Will, and Nodine Hill seems to be like, you know, they have less than 200 voters that show up at Nodine Hill throughout all of the early voting. But I don't think they get a lot there. The Will Library, I guess, was the place to be. It was hopping for early voting. So it looks like
terrific.
There's an energized electorate, at least in the north part of Yonkers, you know, which is the assembly race that 90th Assembly District is probably about 75% of the city. The other 25 is Gary Pretlow and then Abenanti taken a little bit of the area that dips down in the Pira Park down to about not quite as far as DeHaven Drive, but it kind of cuts down to that, a little bit of, I guess, the Sacred Heart area and, comes down as a triangle.
So when you voted, was there a long line to get to the
I walked in. There was no line. I understand Assembly Member Sage posted a picture early in the morning of people lined up to go vote. So I understand there was a line earlier. And people, first time, early in the morning. I came about 4 o'clock. There were people coming in, trickling in, maybe – I would have to say, let's say one every 2 minutes, which is still
really fantastic.
2 or 3 minutes.
Do you think this will invigorate more people to vote?
I understand nationwide it's been pretty good turnout for a midterm. You know, midterms are usually off year. So I understand it's been a pretty good turnout for a midterm election. You know, it's nothing like what we had in 2020 for the presidential election. I mean, I was early voting. There were every day there were lines to go vote. But it's a pretty good turnout. I think I understand that there were not as many absentee ballots this year. As there was last year, and it seems the areas in which generated the absentee ballots seem to favor, this is in Yonkers now, seem to favor Republicans. But we'll have to see. It's a ballot. You never know where somebody's going to vote. I was out campaigning over the weekend for my candidates, and some people with signs on their lawn for the opposing candidate did say that they put the sign on the lawn as a favor, and that didn't necessarily indicate their view. So I think there
is some allegiance, isn't there, anyway? You know, you may not be compassionate or passionate about a particular candidate, but I think you know, people are engaged with the political party that they cling to. You know, there's a demeanor.
Yonkers is 3-1 Democrat, but we also have about half of the, let's see, the 3-1 Democrat puts you about 90,000 voters, and there's about 140,000 registered voters. So 50,000, just as many people who are Democrats are not in a party. And that doesn't mean, citywide election last year, 20,000 people came out and voted. I think a lot more people will come out and vote this year. We have a governor's race. The last governor's race in Yonkers, I think about 56,000 people voted.
What do you think about President Trump? What do you think about President Trump's endorsement of Zeldin, who's from Long Island, and he's running for governor, challenging the incumbent governor at the moment, who's a Democrat? But Trump endorsed Zeldin. Do you think that that's going to elevate his return, voting return?
I think it'll be probably a net zero at the end of the – you mean elevate Trump's return or elevate Zeldin?
No, elevate Zeldin's return. Trump's not running for office.
I think it's – why he may. We don't know
Well,
yet.
He might. I mean, next right. year. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a net zero at the end of the day. Because I think, the former president is a polarizing figure, and it may get some Democrats to go out and vote or some people who oppose him to go out and vote. As well, there are some people who very ardently support the former president here in Yonkers and have been very vocal on social media and elsewhere. So, I'm thinking it may be a net zero at the end of the day. We all know that Zeldin, that Lee Zeldin's a Republican, and there was I can't speak for candidate Zeldin as to whether where he stands with Mr. Trump, President Trump.
I don't either. No idea.
You know, so I can't speak for him. President Trump is not in this race.
No.
Lee Zeldin is, and he's very much in this race as the polls have closed. I believe he's within 4 points of the governor with a 4-point margin of error. And we all know how the polls in 2016 were, where a lot of people weren't willing to admit that they were voting for Trump. And you may have some of the same thing now. Because I can tell you, I've been canvassing door to door, and people are just upset with this crime wave.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, the biggest crime wave, I think the most frightening a crime wave is what happened to Pelosi's husband. I think his name's Paul Pelosi. That he got hit over the head or his arm with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think that this is going to replicate itself in politics?
Well, I think this is a different type of crime. This is crime that's being fed by the division on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
You know, it's Democrats want to turn around and say, "Well, this is Republicans," and shake their finger. But I have to remind you about Senator Schumer. Calling people out against Brett Kavanaugh for his vote on Roe v. Wade. So, you know, mm-hmm. there has been bad actors on both sides speaking and ginning up people to be to really get. I don't know that they're ginning people up to be physical, but that's the outcome. We really have to moderate.
Why is it that we hear the rhetoric from one side more than we hear the rhetoric from another? And why isn't it more balanced? Is that the fault of the media?
I don't know that we hear from one side more than the other. I mean, I don't listen to the infotainment shows, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't turn into MSNBC or Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to listen to Bloomberg Radio a lot, which is I would say Bloomberg Radio is a little left of center.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know that there's, you know, we do have a lot of echo chambers now. You know, where people want to get out there. It's not just news channels. It's social media. You know, it's Facebook and you know, there are echo chambers out there where like-minded mm-hmm. individuals get together and support each other. And unfortunately, that's the that kind of leads to people assuming they're right because other people validate them. And you know, I mean, look, there are no pedophile pizza rings out there. I've seen people allude to that Paul Pelosi was having an illicit gay affair and that went bad, and that's why he was hit with a hammer. I don't believe that, but that's what's been out there. So you know, you have to, you know, there is a lot of false information out there. I think. You need to stand against violence. I mean, you know, we've had people on both sides of the aisle. This is horrendous, and we don't want this. You know, Ted Cruz, who is an ardent Republican conservative, has condemned this action. So yeah, and we can't buy into false narratives about, you know, pedophile rings or gay sex or any of that. You know, somebody got beaten, and that's wrong.
Yeah, that's where it goes wrong, because that violence is too much.
Right. So, you know, getting back to the election, we have some good candidates running on the Republican side. We have Frank Murtha, who's running for Senate in my area, which I'm getting a little confused because it used to be 35, and I think now it's 37. And then we have Chris Kerr running for 39, which is on the other side of Yonkers. I think it's 39. As you know, we have Mike Breen running for the 90th Assembly District. I don't think Gary Pretlow has anyone running against him.
No.
So, let's see, on the other, we've got Joe Pinion. Joe Pinion had a debate with Chuck Schumer last night.
I didn't
Joe
hear
did
it.
Very well. Yeah, it was on
Good.
Spectrum.
Good for him.
Kind of similar to the governor's debate. So you have to be a Spectrum subscriber or download their
mm-hmm.
app. But you know, I saw some of the news footage this morning, and Joe did very well.
So I think, you know, Joe, well, if you remember, Joe ran against Nader Sage back in 2018.
And, I remember and I that, think, yeah.
Yeah, I think Joe has developed very well into a candidate over these last 4 years. So it'll be interesting to watch that race. I mean, they're still calling that as about a 12 to 14 point difference with advantage to Schumer, but, you know, it's still a couple of days before Election Day. And as I said before, a lot of people will admit they were voting for Trump in 2016.
What's the problem, though, with the Republican candidate? You don't see much of a promotion for them. I mean, I see it for Zeldin, but there are other candidates, like Pinion running against Schumer. You would think there would be a much larger platform. What's missing here?
Well, you
know, I don't know if there's a balance.
It comes down to fundraising. I mean, you know, the parties don't raise as much money as it is for the candidates, and then the parties will put the money into the candidates that they feel have the best chance of winning. So you take Mike Lawler, who's in a very competitive race with Sean Patrick Maloney. I believe the Republicans, the state committee has put in, or actually the RNC, the Republican National Committee has put in $8 million into that race because I think Lawler is actually up over Maloney. Doing very well there. So that's and you have to remember Maloney Maloney was spending money on Trump backed candidates because he thought that they would have the least likelihood of winning. So many in his own party, many Democrats were upset with that strategy on Maloney's part.
Bear with me a moment. It looks like we have a caller on the line. I didn't realize that I wasn't paying attention. So bear with me as I pull that in. Good morning, caller. My apology. I had not noticed that you were there. I wasn't paying attention to the tablet. Do you have a question or do you have a comment you want to make?
Hi, Hezzy. It's Carolyn. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
So,
How are you?
I can hear you. Well, good morning. I'm sorry to keep you on hold for such a long time. We've got, I'm losing my mind. We got Ron Matten on the line at the moment as well. So good morning to both of you. So what's on your mind, Carolyn?
Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, Ron. I just wanted to give a call and listen in. I am a very big Joe Pinion supporter. He's one of our own from the City of Yonkers. And I think last night on the debate, he did a phenomenal job. As Ron said, you can go watch it yourself on Spectrum News. It's an app. But I'm just very excited because he's not like, and this is not me with the rose-colored glasses. He's just definitely a regular human being. His mother is a Democrat that raised him to be a man, you know, a very strong man. She started a non-for-profit that ended up being a Morris Park Neighborhood Health Center. And, he went to Yonkers Public Schools his whole life. Well, he went to a private high school, and he's a man that, you know, decided to be a Republican, but he's not just a Republican. You know, he votes and thinks about what the issues are, and that's how, you know, he thinks. And he's just really a very strong man, and I'm actually extremely excited. You know, I'm hoping he catches lightning in a bottle. It looks really good. And if not, I hope the backup plan, and this might be selfish of me, but I hope the backup plan is that he'll come home and run for mayor. So, you know,
that's very interesting. Yeah.
So what I want
are we hearing enough from the Republican side of the aisle in places like Yonkers? Why aren't hearing more?
They took a lot of hits, the Republican Party, unfortunately, but they're rebuilding. I know Ron Matten is a very big instrumental part in that. And, unfortunately, there's really only one party, which is the Spano Party, that Yonkers. But hopefully, people could start thinking independently again, not happy with the way that things are going. You know, we have the fourth term looming. So, you know, and a lot of people on both sides of the aisle aren't happy with the word fourth term. So we just have to wait and see. Hopefully there's a good turnout. I was encouraged what Ron said with Saturday, out of all days, being, you know, 600 people at the library is pretty good, you know, for us. So we just got to stay positive, get out and vote. I mean, people think one vote doesn't matter. One vote matters, you know, because it's what, I mean, you look at Anthony Morante, how many votes did he win by? It wasn't many. I'm sure Ron knows the number, but it was maybe 20 votes. It wasn't a lot of votes. I can't remember the exact number.
Anthony, Anthony won by a little over 300 votes in the last election. The prior election, I think Anthony was, you know, somewhere around 8 votes. But that was a three-way race. You had a popular fireman, Anthony Pagano, who had the conservative line. And then it's escaping me on the Democratic candidate. But you had a three-way race, and Anthony pulled it out with 8 votes. The last race was about 300 votes. Somehow, they found 200 votes for Anthony and I. At the end, I think there was a miscount at the family school in Yonkers, and we actually got 200 votes on the second day. One of the voting machines, I think, was mislaid.
Is there something missing in – go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just showing you that, yes, the example of every vote counts, you know, whether you
– it is. Look at Gordon and it was a 91-vote difference between Gordon Burroughs and Ruth Walter in their second –
absolutely,
lost by 91 votes.
That was unfortunate because I think there wasn't the incumbent didn't do such a good job in getting out there. Is there ever a reluctance to get the agenda out there by Republicans or Democrats? Is one lacking more than the other, or is it about the same?
Well, I think on both sides, Zay, it really relies on the candidate and how much work the candidate is willing to do. Party can help. I had help from our ward leaders when I ran. John Larkin, the chair, walked me around. He was very popular when he was a councilman.
Well, John Larkin is very much so. Yeah.
Yeah, he walked me around home field and his area, Justin Tubiolo, who's a great community leader, he walked me around his area. I had, I had support from other. I have to be careful with some of the neighborhood associations because they're nonpartisan. But I think, when it became evident that my opponent was looking at trying to legalize basement apartments, that energized some of the local neighborhoods. So I think it's really important that you build those ties to the community, even for larger candidates like Assembly and Senate. I say this about Shelley Mayer is a Democrat, but she's active and she's in communities, and it's really hard to not liking your mother's favorite sister, your aunt or whatever. It's hard to take some of the people on the other side of the aisle to task when they're out there so often.
Yeah, but you know what? I've always wondered, like with people like Shelley Mayer, do people really know anything about her? She seems to be, in her own little cocoon. It's like there is not much information that comes out from her office. Even Andrea Stewart Cousins, I just don't see it. Like they're there, but they're not there.
Andrea Stewart Cousins was on a Zoom the other day, and she was blaming actually the judges for bail reform, which I thought was quite funny because she was the one that directly had a part in the bail reform, which is an absolute disaster. And I think they're realizing that now. As, the numbers game, the Republicans are catching up, I thought that was quite ironic that she was on there trying to blame judges when she's basically, along with Gary and Shelley, tied to hands of judges. They have criminals come in front of them with 17, 18 cases, and it all just slaps on the wrist, and they just keep coming back. I mean, how is that in our day and age? You have a person innocent to proven guilty, but they're sitting there with 17 active cases?
Well,
that's a travesty to the justice.
There's a couple other, so it's really all the criminal reforms. Cashless bail is one of the evils that has passed in the last couple of years. But you also have raised the age, which has allowed gangs to recruit underage offenders.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to get slapped on the wrist and they're going to get their record expunged. So that's really caused a problem with, who's going to hold the gun? Give it to the 15-year-old. You know, who are we going to have to do the crime? Let the 15-year-old do it.
Right.
So that's caused a problem as well. And then you've got Clean Slate, which is out there now, where they want to expunge records after people have done their time. And then so you could be hiring anybody from a murderer to an embezzler, and you won't know that.
Yeah.
So I think while the criminal reform laws are well-intentioned, they have consequences that affect everybody, and it's allowed the crimes to increase. The other thing they've done, not the legislature now, but New York City, and don't be surprised if our legislator doesn't do this, is qualified immunity. They removed qualified immunity from police officers, which makes it more difficult for a cop to really want to get involved in something where they may get sued personally themselves.
Unbelievable.
Rather than having immunity from a personal lawsuit. You can lose your house by doing your job.
Exactly.
And that has to be another reason why crime is increased, because you've put handcuffs on the police.
Well, we're down to like the last 30 seconds, so I want to thank you, Carolyn, for calling. I'm sorry for delaying picking you up. And then, of course, Ron Matten, always a pleasure as well. And,
thanks,
Evie.
Thank you.
Just have a great week. So, and thanks for
early
voting.
Early voting is open. Library, Riverfront Library, and Nodine Hill, please go out and vote.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Your mouth to God's ears.
Okay.
Right, we're
going
to go.
You're voting today, right,
Ezzy? I am voting today. Be good.
Okay.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Guys, have a wonderful. Bye-bye.
There we are, folks. We're finished. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Goodbye.